Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. Today I have Randy Croxton. He's very well acquainted with the architecture of very efficient buildings. He's been doing it for a long time. How long have you been doing it, Randy?
Let's see. Well, I started my own firm in 1978, so quite a while.
Okay, and you build substantial structures. It's more than just houses. It's big structures, right?
Well, we have a wide range of projects that we're currently doing and that are typical in the firm. We don't have a single sort of type of building. We don't just do hospitals or condominiums, by type. We are usually working for clients who are looking for extremely high-performance buildings from an energy point of view, but also are looking for extremely healthy buildings.
Now, when you say high performance, when you compare that to something that is run-of-the-mill and probably what you've been seeing around the country, where are you in terms of energy and percentages of savings?
Well, we've actually, in the most extreme instance, designed a net zero building for a corporation that was locating in Medellin, Colombia. Of course, that's kind of like Monterey, California. You have an almost ideal climate, but we were able to incorporate photovoltaics to reduce the connected load, if you will, of the space by having deep day lighting, lots of natural light. Obviously, we had the climate issue completely.
Now, the climate, you're talking about the angle of incidence of the sun.
You're practically at the equator there. So you literally have the sun every day coming up directly perpendicular to these linear. There were two linear elements of this building. So it comes up literally perpendicular to the facade, which incorporates photovoltaics, passes directly over the roof and down every day. So there's no variance. Also, you're located beautifully at about 10,000 feet altitude, so that even though you're on the equator, every day is a perfect day. It's a perfect spring day. In other words, low humidity,
low temperature.
It goes down to maybe 65 at night. It gets up to 72, 74 during the day. So you really have, in that instance, the sort of perfect setting to pull.
So if you're going to build a net zero building, that would be the place to do it.
Yeah, that would be. But you can, what you can do in New York and what you can do on Long Island is you can have a extremely high efficiency approach to your systems and your loads and so forth, and use a lot of natural cooling and solar hot water and so forth, so that you bring your energy density way down, and then you can buy an incremental additional cost of about 2 cents a kilowatt hour. You can buy green energy, which is that money, of course, marginally going into renewable energy sources. But effectively, you are recognized as moving to a net zero building, even though you're situated in New York State.
Now, do you employ geothermal technologies?
We probably analyzed it on at least 6 or 8 projects in exhaustive detail. However, we were never able, because people tend to think of that as a sort of hyper-environmental system. It actually consumes a lot of electricity because you have pumping requirements to make that system work, and you are using a natural temperature differential, but we usually are able to get an extremely high-performing conventional system to perform equal to or slightly better than geothermal in the instances and in the locations where we have analyzed it. So
when you say conventional systems, you're talking about something that would be burning fossil fuel, though.
Well, it would be, hopefully it's a biofuel, you know, not necessarily a fossil fuel, but yes, a combustion source, energy source.
So, and as long as you're producing a small amount of it because of the design of the building overall, that might be more acceptable. Is that the general idea?
Yeah, well, you have to understand that what we do when we look at geothermal is we look at the total pollution that's being produced. In other words, the electricity that's driving geothermal is being pulled from a power plant, and you need to go through and analyze the source of that power because, you know, every utility district is different. But, you know, there will probably be some fossil fuels. There will probably be some renewables, and there will probably be, you know, other, maybe nuclear as a, you know, component of that. So anytime we're comparing systems, when we're looking at geothermal or when we're looking at a system that consumes energy on site, we compare the net impact to the environment.
In other words, there is no free lunch. Somehow that power is being produced, and we have to know how much environmental damage it's doing before we determine that it's a better deal.
Yeah, and you want to just get your building way down in terms of its energy density. And basically what we do is just we start out and treat the building as though it's not going to have any energy.
And then
in other words, we just use natural daylight. We leverage natural daylighting, and we're doing this in a 78,000 square foot building, a retrofit of a building up at SUNY New Paltz, and every square foot is going to receive natural light in the new renovation of that building. And when you're able to do that and supplant electric light, but more importantly, get the health effects of full spectrum light. Connection to time of day and, you know, and the human sort of biological system to orient yourself to nature, that you spend a day in that building is a day in nature. You get a surge of light with clouds passing overhead, weather changes, and so forth. You're literally connected to nature in that building. So
they've done studies on productivity in buildings like that, haven't they?
Exactly. Productivity, you know, sick days. All dimensions, you know, employee retention, the ability to get the best and brightest people to come into your company if you're looking at it on a comparative basis basis in the business world. You attract the best and the brightest people. You retain people longer. You know, you have much more loyalty of your population. You know, it has so many dimensions of value that are paid back. Of course, in a learning situation, you're getting higher test scores. You're getting much more productivity and quality as a learning experience. And then the most important of all the three, of course, is a healing environment. When you're in a hospital and when you're isolated from those kinds of natural systems, you find that recovery rates from operations, the amount of time it takes for a given operation to recover and come back, is enormously enhanced by something just as simple and basic as that.
Yeah, it's a very complex picture that you're painting for us, and it's like you have to appreciate all of that that's going into this to, you know, to understand what you got going. We have more on this after we do our break, but I just want to cover some pretty basic stuff and then go into some more intricate stuff if we can.
Sure.
And of course, intricate is probably where your expertise is going to lead me rather than me lead the conversation.
I don't know about that.
I'm talking to Randy Croxton, and we'll be back in a few minutes. But we're talking about building things in a sound way. This is Ernie Fazio, earnestly speaking. and this is 103.9 FM. Thanks for listening.